Welcome to Live Your Full Life Now podcast. I'm excited to be continuing this teaching on the subject of New Covenant versus Old Covenant. Yes, this is definitely our fourth teaching. And just to briefly summarize everything we've talked about so far. So the purpose of learning about the Old Covenant versus New Covenant is to learn how we can be free from the curse of sin and basically pay the price that God set in the Old Testament. Remember, he said there's blessings and there's curses if you don't follow exactly the commandments that I give you. And I did go over those, and we did talk about that there was actually different kinds of laws that God gave Moses. It wasn't just the moral law, which are the Ten Commandments. There was also religious ceremonial law. There was civil law, total 613 laws total that he gave to the nation of Israel. Now, you might say, okay, well, stop. What does that have to do with me, right? Like I said before, you know, just be patient and bear with me. If you understand the Old Testament, then you're more likely to understand what Jesus did for you on the cross and receive the gift of salvation. You know, otherwise you will have all these questions in your mind and it won't, you'll keep like going over them and none of it makes sense and you will not receive it or you will not accept it with all your heart. So it's really important to know the nature of God, how he deals with sin, how he sees us now, you know, the believers in Christ, the blessing and curses that comes from, you know, following and not following God. So it's really important to at least have an idea of what is the Old Covenant have to do with the New Covenant. They're basically mirroring each other, and you're going to see the resemblance between the two and the purpose and the prophecies that were given about, you know, the new law, the New Testament. I'm sorry, the New Covenant, right? Jesus said, this is a new covenant when he was at during the Last Supper. But anyway, during this teaching, I basically just want to go over the part that they had to do if they had sinned. In the Old Testament, what did they have to do? The nation of Israel, what did God tell them to do? So just remember that God gave Moses specific instructions as far as what they need to do to follow God. Okay, and we're going to focus on the Ten Commandments, which is the moral law. And he gave them specific instructions to build a tent, a tabernacle. And then he chose priests with very specific instructions for them. Anybody could not just be priest. God handpicked them, and there was requirements for the priest's behavior. There was specific instructions about the priest's clothing, about their appearance, about their ceremonial cleansing, and only the priest could enter the tabernacle, right, to offer the sacrifices for the sin of people, to receive atonement for them, and only the high priest. Only their high priest could enter the Holy of Holies. So there was another place behind the curtain that only the Holy of the high priest could enter. That place was called the Holy of Holies once a year. And that was with the blood sacrifices. So just keep that picture in mind. There's a tabernacle where God dwells, right? In the Holy of Holies. And only priests can enter it to offer sacrifices, to receive atonement for people. And only the whole high priest can enter behind the curtain, and that's only once a year. Okay, so now let's say, just kind of pretend you live in those times, and what happens now? You sin, and what's the process? Well, it just depends on who you are, you know, because there was specific instructions if a priest sins, if a leader sins, if, you know, all these different requirements by God as far as what their offering should be. So I'm going to read you guys in this podcast Leviticus 4, which has to do with sin offering. So the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, if the anointed priest sins, so, you know, looks like the priest did sin, bringing guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. Again, let me read that again. So the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when anyone sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, he must bring to the Lord a young bull without defect as a sin offering for the sin he has committed. He is to present the bull at the entrance to the tent of the meeting before the Lord. He is to lay his hand on its head and slaughter it there before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and carry it into the tent of the meeting. He is to dip his finger into the blood and sprinkle some of it 7 times before the Lord in front of the curtain of the sanctuary. The priest shall then put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense that is before the Lord in the tent of the meeting. Okay, so I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but those were just the requirements for the priest, if the priest sent, right? And please feel free to read it on your own. Now, verse 13 says, if the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though the community is unaware of the matter, when they realize their guilt and the sin they committed becomes known, the assembly must bring a young bull as a sin offering and present it before the tent of the meeting. Again, and then verse 15 goes on to say, the elders of the community are to lay their hands on the bull's head before the Lord, and the bull shall be slaughtered before the Lord. And then I'm going to jump into verse 22. It says, when a leader sins unintentionally, and, you know, it kind of goes on, he must bring his offering as a male goat. So do you see male goat for a leader? So there was different requirements depending on who's sinning. So let's jump into verse 27. If any member of the community sins unintentionally, and it says, I'm not reading the whole verse, but I'm jumping to verse 28. It says, they must bring as their offering for the sin they've committed a female goat without defect. So imagine you're living in those times. You sin. You have to go get a goat without defect and take it to the priest, and they're going to kill the goat. A goat is going to die because you sinned. And then all this other process they have to go through with the blood and the remainder of the goat and all that. And this is how that sin for that time was forgiven. So every time they sin, they had to go through this. Can you imagine? Like the Ten Commandments. And it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. You know, the Mosaic Law, like I said, it was 613 commandments. But we're just focusing on the Ten Commandments, the moral law. Imagine if we break that. I mean, you might say, well, no, I think I do pretty good with that, and I don't really break any of the Ten Commandments. Really? I mean, why don't you write it down, print it, and put it somewhere where you can see it? And if you honestly can say, I've never broken any, or I don't intend to, or I don't, then if you look at it clearly, you're going to say, oh, shoot, yeah, I just did that. You know, we break the Ten Commandments all the time. Hopefully, we break it less and less as we grow spiritually more mature. And if you break it, it's unintentional and we repent right away. But just imagine that every time we did that, you had to go bring a goat with that defect. And that's if you're just an average person. You know, if you're a leader or a priest or anything like that, then there were other requirements, right? So my purpose of reading this was to make you guys understand how God dealt with sin in the Old Testament. Yes, there was a way for forgiveness, atonement for sin, but it was temporary. They had to do it over and over again. There was no way that they could keep all the laws all the time, right? So God is the same. Same God in the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. So, you know, when people say, well, you know, we have received the forgiveness of sin. Yes, we have received, but there was a price that had to be paid for that, and blood had to be shed. The Bible says, without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now we're going to, in the next teaching, go into the New Testament and compare the new tabernacle, the new priest, the new sacrifice, shedding of the blood in the New Testament, which is for us, compared to the Old Testament. So now you have an idea of what happened in the Old Testament. What were the laws? What was the process of asking for forgiveness? Could anybody just go up to God and say, okay, here's my goat, I'm gonna slaughter it and please forgive my sins? That wasn't the case. They had to go to the priest. The priest had, there was an intercessor between people and God, which was the priest, and then there was the high priest, right? There was a process. So just if you have to take notes, but keep all that in mind. What was going on in the Old Testament when the nation of Israel sinned? What did God require of them? And if it's the same God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how is he dealing with sin now, right? What does it mean when it says we're not under the law anymore? We're under the new covenant. What does that mean? Does that mean we don't have to adhere to the moral law anymore? We can just do whatever you want because that's, the perception now that Jesus paid the price. So we are free to commit any sin we want and get away with it. That's not it at all. So that's what we're going to talk about during the next podcast. So until then, God be with you and God bless you.